Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Thank you so much for the privilege of being here and to be... Wow, my son used to be here, huh?
That's nice
to know. Okay, I have so many things on my heart, but I was told that I should release you before 8 o'clock. So I'm going to go for it. I'm going to share with you very quickly what I shared with the adult service, because I was told that we are trying to go in sync with the adults. So I'll very quickly bring you through the adult service. But God had put other things in my heart that I feel that as youth, that's what we're going to do. All right. I want to share with you the story of how God called me into the full-time ministry. I also want to share with you how God helped me find my life partner, which I think these two are very crucial things in your life, right? What you do with your life and who you marry, okay? That will keep you to the end of the service. Don't run out on me, okay? All right? Okay, for the adults, we started with the KPI. That is your logo for this year, huh? You will have to do that. Okay, we talk about walking with God in 2016. So your KPI is? Can you help me? Know His Word, pursue kingdom values, and impact communities. Okay. And then, okay, let's go to know His Word. How many of you read your Bible every day? Raise your hand. If you read your Bible every day, raise your hands. Okay. How many of you put a hand? How many of you eat every day? Oh, every day. I mean, some of you don't eat, I don't believe. Okay, you eat every day, right? How many eat at least one meal a day? Ah, that's good. Okay. So you feed your body, right? Somehow, if you don't feed your body, your mother will also feed your body, right? I know my mother used to run after me, you know, to make sure I eat. Okay. So you feed your body, but you must feed your spirit, because we are made in God's image, right? And then we are body, soul, and spirit. So some of you, I've seen some of you when you were much younger, you all grown so tall. Some of you taller than Auntie Dorothy, right? That's because you feed your body. So you need to feed your spirit. Otherwise, we have big bodies with very weak spirit inside, all right? Little things affects you, your soul, your spirit inside, all kind of messed up. Alright? We don't have time to go into all that. But today I want to ask you, if you read your Bible, please read in with your spirit. Do you know where your spirit is? Some people know where their body is, but you know where your spirit is. Alright? You have to learn, train your spirit. And every time you read the Word of God, tell God, okay, I'm coming in. Please let the Holy Spirit touch your spirit. Because when you get born again, it's your spirit that gets born again. And when you die, your body is not going with you. A body is not going to heaven, huh? Your spirit is. So feed your spirit with the Word of God. This is the bread of life. Okay, every day, you know Pastor Joshua, right? He's my son. Okay? When he was young, he loves to read when he eats. Okay? So every breakfast in the morning, he will have a cup of milk, he will have his bread, and he will have the Bible in front of him. I let him read when he eats. She's not a very good habit to eat and read at the same time. But if you want to eat and read, that's one thing you can eat and read, the Bible. Okay? So he gets to eat and read his Bible every morning. Alright? And sometimes, if there are two of them, mommy will go read the Bible with them. Alright, in the morning. So, every time you eat, make sure you read your Bible. Okay, and then why the paper Bible? Auntie Dorothy used to be stuck, like most of you, to the digital Bible. You know, such a fantastic invention, right? I loved it. For the last 4 years, I was reading my paper Bible. And sorry, my digital Bible. You know, click, 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 you know, don't have to even find the verses. All appeared. And it was only December last year. The Lord spoke to me to start a read the paper Bible movement. I said, why read paper Bible? So the only thing I thought could be the reason that God wanted us to read the paper Bible was because, you know, every time you read the digital Bible, then your notification, ding, 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 then you get distracted, right? Oh, who's saying this? After a while, you don't even know whether you're reading your Bible or not, right? How many of you are guilty of that? Ah, many hands. Okay. So I thought that was the reason, and so I started a movement, and now I have about 60 odd people who have joined to read my paper Bible through in 2016. And I encourage you, even if you don't finish, it's okay. At least you start, all right? You can take 2 years, 3 years, but you get there. But it's only recent research that I've learned that if you read actual books, paper, you actually store it in your long-term memory. So if you read plasma reading, digital reading, it goes into your short-term memory. No wonder I couldn't remember all the stuff I read in the last 4 years. I thought I was getting old, so my memory was, how come I can't memorize by verses and things? I had so much trouble. Now that I'm back to my paper Bible, it's much easier, right? So you all have that little slip of paper that you all received just now when you came in? You all see it? Yeah. Okay. There's a little box there that says, read my paper Bible through in 2016 challenge. Count me in. If you tick that box, okay, in fact, some of the youth here are already in it. You tick that box, you'll get a WhatsApp message from me. It's a broadcast, don't worry. Nobody will know you're on it. Alright? And, we'll give you little tips on how to read your Bible, how to mark your Bible, and, we'll keep encouraging one another. And if you share something really nice, I will broadcast it to everybody. Okay? So if you're interested to join, tick, that. But if you really refuse to read the paper Bible, even if it's digital Bible, please read your Bible, okay? Then you feed your spirit. Because actually reading the paper Bible too encourages you to do deep reading, alright? Because it's not just for Bible, for books and all that. They say in children these days, we don't know why they can't remember things. Now they are discovering. A lot of brain research are into this area. And so soon you may find all your textbook coming back. Huh? Okay, now, okay, that was the part. Okay, I won't do too much on that. So, but then you read. Please do. No point reading your Bible, right? Some people say, wow, I want to read through my Bible. I read it 10 times already. I used to have this ambition, you know, I read the Bible through as old as, according to my age. So far, I haven't accomplished it. Huh? I'm 60 years old already, but I haven't read it 60 times yet. The reason I was challenged to actually read my Bible through was because when I was in pre-U, I remember I had the Bible and I had a thick textbook next to it. And you know, while I was studying for my exam, I was telling myself, I must read it through at least twice this year. Then as I was doing that, the Holy Spirit said to me, what about this book? And do you know that this book is eternal? The other book all be gone. Okay. So after that, I decided I must change my value system. All right. So pursue kingdom value is your next point. Your KP. This is P. Pursue kingdom value. All right. Okay. That's, in this context, especially, I ask a lot of young people, what are you going to do when you grow up? You don't know. Whatever can make money, law. You know? So you make a decision based on what? How much money you make. Okay, that's not the right way to do kingdom value, right? You're in kingdom value, you ask the Lord, and He will show you. Okay, and there's a few verses about kingdom value. Okay, it says, remember a stingy, this is from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. It says, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. You know, my heart was so touched when I saw this group of youth. You may not believe it, but some of them has been there as many as 7 times. All right. And if they are only like 18 years old, it means they went when they were like 11 years old. Okay. And they gave. Some of you say, oh, I got pocket money. You can save your pocket money. Some of them did it as a cell group. And it's not because anybody kind of twisted their arm, but out of the heart, the volunteers. All right, the Lord blessed. And verses 8 to 11 says, God can pour on the blessing in astonishing ways so that you are ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist put it, said, He throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. We're not only talking about money, but our God is such a good God, all right? He is ready to bless you in great abundance. Your parents bless you, right? Some of you I've seen in a certain setting, you know, you go out and eat with your parents, you choose the most expensive dish. Did your parents say, yeah, they buy it for you because, ah, he's my son. He's my daughter. All right, she's my daughter. Okay. And he gives you something. Sorry. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-form lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. So basically, when we start to give, people worship God. You know, when we work in a community in Konken, very often you ask a kid, do you believe in God? They say, yeah, there's a God. Then they say, why do you believe in God? They say, well, if there's no God, I don't think these people will come and help us. They actually know we are there because of the love of God. Alright, so this is kingdom basic. We are his ambassadors. We represent the Lord of the universe. And young people, you represent the Lord of the universe. Don't have to wait till you grow up. Actually, you all are pretty grown up. Alright? And you can represent God wherever you are. You can make a difference. Okay? And so God gives to us so that we can give to others. Even right now, as you're sitting there, begin to think, who can you give to? Who can you bless? Alright? Don't wait until you think you make your first million. Okay? Whatever you have in your pocket, you can bless someone. Right, the Lord has prompted me very often, even in little ways. When I go to a public toilet, when I'm walking on the street and see a old man, you know, trying to do things, sometimes $10, sometimes if I don't have much, even $5, you know. And even in Thailand, in the community, you know, the Lord just whatever the Lord lays on your heart, do it, and you can change the world around you. All right, and the reason many of us do not give is because of this love of money. Okay, Bible says it's the root of all evil. All right, Scripture 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang." I have many friends who are now my age, retired, you know, or retiring, and many of them lamenting that they have taken the wrong direction in life. Because when we were youth, we all talk about serving God. We all had these big talks, you know. And then now, 40 years down the road, you realize, hey, I've not done what I said I would do. Okay? And but understand, money is not evil. Money is good. We all need money, right? If you have no money, you got a problem going home, afterward you cannot go out for your meals with your friends. And this Bible verse, many people don't know it's in the Bible. It says money is the answer to everything. It is in the Bible, okay? Ecclesiastes 10:19 tells us, men prepare a meal for enjoyment and wine makes life merry. And money is the answer to everything. So don't be afraid of money, all right? Okay, I used to tell God, if you need a treasurer in heaven, I would like to apply. Okay, but when you have money, steward it for God in the right way. Don't just splurge it all on yourself. You know, mommy, I must have that special branded shoe, that special branded shirt. Do you know your special branded shoe could have, you know, bought and maybe another 10 pairs of shoes for lots of kids who have no shoes. What do you tell your mommy? This year, buy me a normal shoe with no brand so that I can give the rest of the money to somebody else who needs it more. How about don't give me that special branded t-shirt that I need, you know? I was so blessed once I saw this youth. She came to our foundation and she said, this, the father said, my daughter said that because it's her birthday, she would like, daddy and mommy asked her what birthday present she likes. She said, I would like to celebrate my birthday in the slum and give a party for all the slum children. And that was her birthday party. Her parents paid for it because she wanted to bless. So there are many creative ways, all right, to bless. All right, so money is money a blessing or a curse? Money is neutral. It can accomplish much for good or for evil. All right, some people would die for money. In our community, we sometimes have girls who will go sleep with a guy so as to make enough money to buy a handphone. Okay. So you see the lure of money. So money is not evil, but if you love it, you are in trouble. And money takes on the character of the person who owns it. Okay? So you're very stingy. The money is very stingy. It stays inside your pocket all the time, cannot come out. Alright? And don't serve money. Because money is meant, God gives us money. Money is answer to everything. But these days, what do? Actually, every Singaporean, thanks to our very good governmental system, you know, all of us have a saving account, right? How many of you got bank account? All of us got bank account. I remember even as years when I was a kid, you know, we put stamp and then have a bank account. But do you know that in the scripture, where did God tell people to put money in the bank? Who did God say, why didn't you put your money in the bank? The guy who put his, who buried his money in underground, in the ground. Because he was afraid, right? So he go bury his money. And God's, and the parable, you could have put your money in the bank. So as far as I'm concerned, your money in the bank is just slightly better than putting your money in the ground. Okay? So ask God for creative way that your money can become a blessing. Alright, I've heard of young people who are so creative, you know, that they are already making money even when they're still in school. Okay, I'm not asking you to go out and don't study and go make money. But learn how to steward your money, alright? And don't just spend it on yourself. Okay, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't give because you have to. Okay, after we would like you to give, of course, but don't give because you have to. Don't give when you don't want to. Don't grumble about giving. Ayo, another message about giving. Okay? Because all these are symptoms of love of money. Okay? You find it so hard. You know, when your pocket is touched. Some people say when you get baptized, they don't baptize the wallet. They take the wallet out. Okay? So don't give 10% and use 90% on yourself. Don't do the minimum. Invest in God's kingdom. Break out of the poverty mindset. Okay, so it's not about money. It's about a most generous God. We all have a generous God and God has blessed us. So let's learn to bless in radical obedience, total abandonment. When you walk in generosity, who's a generous God? You actually take on the character of God. All right? That's why in our foundation, we don't give out tracts. I tell all my people there, we are the tracts. They look at us, they see God. They don't have to look at a piece of paper and read about God. All right? So let's demonstrate God. Let's be God to the people. The love of Christ to come through us. Okay, just now also you saw the youth team and everything. So very quickly I want to show you what the youth team did when they came to visit us. And then it's followed by their parents coming. So basically some of the youth came back earlier, but some of them stayed for a maximum of 20 days. Actually, you need 21 days to do a complete detox. So we did a digital detox. When they first went, they all surrendered their handphones. So those who stayed 20 days, lived 20 days without Wi-Fi, without handphones, without all the multimedia. Should give them a clap. They did so well. Okay? So the next youth camp is going to be the same, all right? The parents are the same too. So they're all very happy. And then the next I is about impacting communities, okay? It's to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here I am." If you're wondering why sometimes God didn't answer your prayer, there could be a reason, alright? So, think about it. Have you lived your life just for yourself? Or, are you a generous person? Are you a caring person? Okay? So often as young people, we just worry about ourselves. I'm not even talking about going out of your house when your parents are tired, when your other siblings are having difficulties. That's the first community that God put us in, alright? Learn to care. Learn to share. Recently, my nephew got married, and at his wedding, one of the person besides his parents that he thanked was his sister, his older sister. He said his older sister was like his ATM. But anyway, no money, the older sister will help, you know. So the caring, I was very impressed. Okay, and then impacting communities means you actually open your ears, open your eyes, don't pretend you don't see, as you know, like some people in the MRT, just to sit on the reserved seat and close your eyes. You don't impact communities, okay? Okay? So, don't close your eyes. You can make a difference every time. Even if you are not sitting on the reserved seats, young people, if you see an elderly person or somebody who needs a seat more than you, you don't have to say, "I'm not on the reserved seat, or the one who will give up." Sometimes there's not enough reserved seats. If all the Christian young people in Singapore would always arise and step aside and let someone sit, people say, "Who are these kids now?" Oh, they're from Church of Our Savior. You know, you can make a difference. You don't need to go Thailand. You can make a difference every day wherever you are. Okay? Okay, now very quickly I want to show you about World Harvest Foundation. That's our harvest field. That's a real harvest field that we have. Alright? And I went there. Long story short, God gave me a dream. So God speaks to us in dreams. God said to me, "Go to this place," and I went. I won't tell you the long story. You can go. The adults, so your parents will tell you how it happened. That's a good part about it. Okay. And God gave me a dream, and we went to Khon Kaen. And I want to tell you, Khon Kaen is northeast Thailand, unreached people group. Unreached people group means that even on their own, with all their resources put together, the Christians of the city of that area will not be able to reach the people of the land. Okay, there are 22 million of them. They are the poorest in the whole region of Thailand. They are less than 1% Christian. Okay, and Uncle Mike and I, some of you know Uncle Mike, we actually thought at one stage, after we started a foundation in Khon Kaen, that we would go to Pattaya. Our hearts were really for the sexually broken and also for the sex people caught in the sex trade industry. But when we went there and started talking, visiting the bars, talking to the prostitutes and those who were in the trade, we realized that almost more than 90%, they all come from northeast Thailand. Even though Pattaya, was a sex city of Thailand, was not in northeast Thailand. Most of the workers would come from northeast Thailand. That was when the Lord spoke to us and said, "Go back to northeast Thailand." All right, and the instruction was to cut the supply line. It's still a big dream, and I'm praying that God will help us. We work amongst the railway slum of Thailand. The reason there's a slum is because the railway, the track is owned by the government, right? So the site, all the land are actually government land. So the poor people go there and build their houses there. So it becomes a squatter area. This is a common playground of our children. Their parents are in the recycling business. Okay, they collect garbage and sell them for money. And this is the house of one of our kids. This is the kitchen of one of our kids. And then we build a center, and this is where I think the youth team has been there. We purchased two pieces of land. One piece of land is called Kota Land. The dream is to have a healing center. We're a small team with a big dream from a big God. And then we have Sila Land, okay, and it's another piece of land very close to Kota Land. It's along the irrigation canal. Irrigation canal in Thailand, again, is government property. As a result, then around it, people build their slum houses. So it's another slum community where we have bought our two pieces of land as well. So that's where we will be going. You were given a bookmark when you came in, right? This is for you to put in your paper Bible. But even there's a logo there, plant a seed and inspire lives. Actually, some of the youth here were the one who gave me the idea to do it. You know, put the seed, you know, to be the A and the I and all that. Okay, so this was actually designed by some of you all. But I'd like to encourage you, if you catch a vision, come visit us. And I'm going to show you also what's going to happen. China and Thailand had decided they will cooperate and build a Pan-Asia railroad network. And of course, if you want to build a new railroad, what do? You remove the old railroad. So the railway slum will be evacuated to make way for a double train track. So that's our situation at the moment. This year, most of our slum community may be scattered away. The reason I say may is because they haven't given us time frame, but they said this year. Okay, and as a result of that, we are praying very hard on how to restructure our program. We will still continue to run Inspire, probably moving more to the two pieces of land. And as a result of that too, I would like to buy a bus. What's a bus for? Your land. But the bus is meant for, especially for the children who have been scattered, and we can go to nearby villages and visit them. We say be an inspirator. Some people say, is that a word? Yes, you look in the dictionary, that's a word. Inspirator. When you inspire, the person who inspire is an inspirator. Alright, we put there $600, alright? You can do it as a cell group. You can do it as a family. Go back to your parents. You can do it as a family. But you can actually become an inspirator. Or you can do it on a monthly thing for $50 a month. If you look at your little form, some people say the last service, I didn't speak loud enough about it. So I want to speak very loudly, all right? Look at your form. That is $50 a month, $600 yearly. Or some people say, Auntie Dorothy, I can't do $50 a month. Can you do $10? Can. Okay, no amount is too small, all right? So but you want to do it as a group, you can do it as a group. But if you want to do it as an individual, you can do that as well. Remember, a seed needs to be planted, all right? And your donation can be a seed. Well, of course, yourself, your life can be a seed too. So whatever it is, ask the Lord what you can give. And even as you are listening to me talking, you can begin to feel ready, all right? Who needs a pencil? Everybody got a pen? Ah, okay. Begin to fill, all right? Or you can give a one-time donation. After that, you give this to the green boxes. There are some auntie, uncles, and your youth and all who are behind. You can actually put this. The reason I'm saying all this instruction is because after that, I'm not going to say it really. I'm going to do something else, okay? So you can actually put this in the green box. If you don't need a receipt, and you can just put this in. But please fill in completely so we can follow up with you, all right? But if you put cash into the green box, you will not get a receipt. But if you want a receipt, there's a booth out there, and you can get a receipt for your donation, all right? So this is for you to fill, and I hope you will fill it now, because after that, we don't want to think about this already, all right? This is a necessity, because money is the answer to everything, okay? But we have more important things to do too. So do that. If you will do that, because Auntie Dorothy wants to buy a bus. So if you want to help Auntie Dorothy, okay, donate for a bus, 200,000 Singapore dollar. Half the price of a HDB flat maybe. Alright, I can get a bus that can be, we're going to convert it into a classroom. It can be a mobile classroom for children, for families, for adults as well. Okay, so if you need, who needs a form? You have no form, put up your hands. Okay, and then it's not only for donation, but to read your paper Bible and to join the youth challenge. Okay, I hope I get 50 youth this time coming, all right? Actually, previously we have a condition. You must have come on prior trips with your parents before we will accept you on the youth challenge without your parents for 10 days. But for Koo's youth, I'll make an exception. You can come, but we have to interview you first, okay? Well, you know, to come and then be, you know, a difficult case, huh? But if you're very happy to come, fill in this, make the tick, all right? Okay, so help us buy a bus. And then, We also have land development. You say, I'm not in this area. I just want to plant. In fact, someone said, Auntie Dorothy, can you help me plant a tree? I want to be a planter. You can be a planter. Okay, money donated to planter will go not to the children's program, but go to planting. Auntie Dorothy is in the, I have a big dream because it's a big God. On my own, I can't do it, but with God, it's all things are possible, that we will build dormitories, we will build facilities for the children as well as for the staff. The staff will stay on the land. We buy chicken, we buy duck, we do everything under the sun, alright? I've never done it before, but God has been so good. God sent in a man who is so experienced and he's teaching us how to do it. So God not only tell us to do it, but he will provide us with the manpower and the money to do it too. So if you are interested, please fill in and drop in your forms in the green boxes outside. Okay. So in anticipation, I want to say thank you to all of you for giving to the Lord and for walking with us to impact communities in Konkan. All right. Now for the exciting part. Okay. I just felt the need to share this, okay, because as I look at all of you, you all look so, so ready, you know, so hungry for God. And you remind, as I was walking around, just now I went to walk around to feel the atmosphere. The Lord reminded me of the time when I was about, I came to the Lord at 14, you know, from a Buddhist family with much difficulty, you know, got baptized and, you know, still continue to walk with the Lord. But I remember when I was in school, I was in pre-1. I changed school from one school to another, okay? And I was in pre-1, and I was in this school, because when I was in secondary school, the Christian fellowship was very vibrant, no? But then when I went to the pre-U, the Christian fellowship is, they call it ISCF, I don't know whether it's in existence anymore nowadays, Inter-School Christian Fellowship. We only have 15 of us. And every time we have a meeting, every Friday afternoon, we have a meeting, it's so slow, and everybody feels so discouraged, right? So we just sit down and cry. We were so sad. Then I was like, is this supposed to be a Christian fellowship? So what do? You join them. You cry with them. So we cry and cry. So, and then one day, I remember I was reading about, those days you had this Christian newspaper I was reading. It's from overseas. And they talk about John Wesley and how, wow, the revival came because they fasted. They fasted every Tuesday and every Friday. I said, okay. So I told my group. Actually, I wasn't the leader. I was the secretary of the youth, the group. There was a chairperson. But I said, okay, we fast. No harm not. So we said, okay, every Tuesday, every Friday we will fast. So how to fast? Your parents will allow you to fast, especially your parents are non-Christian. So I said, okay, how about we eat breakfast? Eat very little, eat. Call your parents, will know. Then go to school. We pray together in the school. Recess time, we don't eat, we pray. Lunchtime, we don't go home straight away. We gather together, we pray. Alright, and we study the Bible. And then later in the evening, we go home. Then eat dinner. So parents didn't know we were fast. So we did that. We did that consistently for many months. And during that period, we decided we would do Bible study together. And then we decided we would do the book of James. You know when you're really discouraged and you do the book of James, you say, you know, faith without work is dead. And I still remember we were so discouraged and we were praying, we were crying, you know, my friend on the mucus all coming out. You know, we were so discouraged. We just didn't know how to go on. God, is this what the Christian faith is about? So, but somehow one day, as we were having our small Christian meeting, and in fact that day I got sick. I was very upset about that. I got sick. I was sick that day and I didn't go. But that day we had an amazing visitation of the Holy Spirit. Alright? And by the next week when I went to school on Monday, my friends were saying, you know what happened or not? You know, this speaker came and she talked about Holy Spirit. And the next thing, all of us, our tongues were just rolling, you know. Of course we didn't know it was called speaking in tongues. And then this lady disappeared already. She didn't. So, we went to see the teacher. we had a teacher in charge, and she said, oh, this is called speaking in tongues. So every day we will be speaking in a group. Come, 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 speak. Let me see what your tongue, how it rolls. We were that naive. But I was so sad. I didn't get to speak in tongues because they all spoke in tongues. So I was kind of jealous. But I didn't know how to get it. Nobody taught me. All right. Later on, this lady came in and continued to disciple us. But at that point, it took a lot from us, all right, as kids. And thank God, one day, somebody was not well in our fellowship. And she was crying. Just crying, crying, refused to stop. So I didn't know what to do. So I gathered a few friends. How about we just pray for her? See, she won't stop. So as I was so desperate to pray for her, I didn't know how to pray because you know what was her problem? She just kept crying. I started speaking in tongues. You know, I was so happy. Okay. And then what happened was, because now I can speak in tongues, I'm so happy, Holy Spirit and all that. Okay. And what I did was, I said, we must learn more. Anything we don't understand, let's invite a speaker to speak. Because we got Holy Spirit. Now what else do you want to know? So I said, I know that people talk about demons. So how about I invite a speaker to talk about demon possession? So I still remember, you know, I did a big red paper painted on it, you know, demon possession. Everybody come. I thought, you know, I want to call people in my school to my fellowship, but how to get them? And the school allowed us to use the notice board in the canteen. So I put that in red paper, white writing, demon possession. Come. Well, I tell you, we have full house. But we invited a speaker. Little did I know he had never cast out a demon before. But a friend thought another of her friend has a demon. So she brought her friend. And so right in our meeting, at the end, after the sermon, you know, all the technical points about how to cast out demons. So this friend brought her friend, who's a daughter of a Chinese medium. So she was really demonized, okay? So she came up and she manifested. Okay, she manifested. No one could control her, and including the speaker, because he didn't know what to do. All right? And we were the committee, the 15, a few small of us. We didn't know what to do. And then the speaker also don't know what to do. He was panicky. So he called his lecturer. Oh yeah, the reason he kind of gave up was the demon told him, the demon say, you cannot cast me out. Then he said, why? Jesus said I can cast you out. Then the demon said to the speaker, you didn't do your quiet time this morning. Actually, let me tell you, you do not cast out the demon because of your own righteousness, not. So whether you do your quiet time or you didn't do your quiet time, you can cast out demons. But of course, the speaker was kind of thrown back. So he called his lecturer. So his lecturer came, and with all the non-Christian friends that come watching this, we actually had that real demonstration. As a result of it, many of our friends accepted Christ. All right. Oh, there was salvation on that day. And we began to have a revival in the school. Okay. Because a lot of things started to happen. All right. And so our attendance grew from like 15 to 150 within like, you know, 2-3 months. And the teachers were coming too. They said, what happened to the kids? And then we were also having situation, in fact, actually, especially the week after the demon casting, we had situation of some of the kids got scared, you see. So when they go to class, they'd be crying. Then they had to look for the Christians to pray for them, you know. So a lot of stuff were happening. And this, we were still fasting, remember? I told you about fasting. So revival broke out, you know. And more, and every break time, we were talking about how to win our friends for Christ. So I decided on a plan. I told all my friends, okay, every morning we come to school very early, all right, and pray. So we made an appointment. We all come to school about 6 a.m., all right? Come 6 a.m., we don't even have a meeting room. We go sit down along the drain. Everybody just put your leg into the drain, you know, long stretch. Okay, we don't have to pray in a big group. Just two, three people. Start to a prayer meeting. All right, and then we also had to put. Actually, I was a prefect in a school. We had to put people. That's why I'm not telling you the name of my school. We had to put people and watch because the discipline master gets very unhappy because he says it's not a legitimate gathering. Okay, actually, I came under some kind of discipline in the end because the one day the discipline master took down one of my poster, walked around the school and said, "Who's responsible for this?" And in the end, came to my class. All right, and after that we were banned from having prayer meetings in the school. But thank God a church nearby opened up and we could continue to do stuff. So, and then after that what we did was every day after school we went to the church to pray. All right, we carried on and the Spirit of God was just moving. So I want to tell you all, you know, God can do things when we are hungry for Him and you start seeking for Him. And then what happened was, because I was going to school very early, one of the mornings as I was going to school, you know, in Singapore, you go to school early, what happened? You see the moon, right? It's still very dark. And usually I will be the first person in that whole area, you know, because there's no one. It's so early in the morning. Who go to school at 6 a.m. in the morning, right? And one morning, I heard voices calling my name. Alright, call my Chinese name. My Chinese name is Sui King. Sui King. I was kind of scared. What's that? Alright. For several mornings, you know, I heard voices. And the Lord said to me, "I'm calling you. Okay? And I want you to go and help these people. These people are all suffering." Now, for myself, I do not want to be a missionary. Okay, so I'm not one of those glorious missionary dying to serve Jesus type, to be honest. I was dragged in, kicking, fighting, right? Because I promised my father that I will be an accountant. My father is a rubber business merchant, businessman, and I promised him that I will help him. So I was studying, trying to go towards my goal to do accountancy. And so I said, "God, how about I work very hard, I make a lot of money, I will help missionaries, I will support missionaries, but don't ask me to be a missionary." All right. And so I started asking God for, but then the voices kept coming. So one day I remember I asked God for a sign. You know, we love asking God for a sign. Actually, it's only the people who don't believe that ask God for signs. So I did. So I said, "God, please give me a sign. This is really from you." And what happened was, I was reading my Bible that day, and the sky was full of clouds. I said, "God, if you really, really, really want me to serve you and be a missionary, can you please remove all the clouds from the sky now?" Yeah, I went back to read my book. Suddenly, I felt a strong wind. And the next minute, I lifted up my eyes. There was not one single cloud in that sky. Then I said, "No, I think I asked when the wind was about to change direction." Okay, that's you know how we all just kind of wriggle out things. We say things to God, but we don't keep our words. That was what happened to me. And so, then God had to deal with me, I guess. So what happened was, one day my father called and said, "Okay, Dorothy, I want you to go to visit my friend in hospital. My father lives in Malaysia. He shuttles back and forth. I want you to visit my friend in hospital. He's very sick." So I went to the hospital, but by the time I got to the hospital, his friend had died. So for a young person visiting somebody, expecting them to be living, they died. I was quite traumatized by it. So I went home that day, very sad that night. And that night, because in my heart, I knew that when a person does not know Jesus, my father's friend is in hell. So I was very sad. And that night, I woke up with a nightmare. I was screaming for my father. I was so scared. And right then and then, as I sat up in my bed screaming, hoping my father would hear me, out of the wall, in the dark, I saw Jesus. I saw the bright light of Jesus shining through, alright? Don't tell me how it looks like because it's so bright I couldn't even see properly. But I knew it was Jesus, alright? And he said to me, he speak to me King James English, and he said, "Behold, I am with you." I was so comforted, I went back to sleep. I didn't know what he meant. And I told my mother the next day, my mother said, "Aiya, siao, you know, my mother didn't believe." Praise the Lord, my mother is a Christian now. But at that point, and I didn't know why he was telling me that. And shortly after that, my uncle, my mother's side, maternal side, my uncle passed away. My uncle died of bone cancer, very suddenly as well. And again, I had been a Christian that time for about 4 years. I have never shared the gospel with my uncle. So I felt so terrible, you know, and I cried. I didn't know what to do. Anyway, after 2 weeks, my grandfather passed away. My grandfather was recovering from a stroke, and he was just drinking water, and he choked, and he died. I was in Singapore when the news came. My grandfather lives in Malaysia. I was so sad. I cried all the way from school back home. And the thought I had was, I had never shared the gospel with my grandfather. It's true, I can give myself all kinds of excuses. He lives in Malaysia. I only see him once a year. But I never shared. I have at least 4 visits to him. We usually go once a year. I had never shared with my grandfather. I always felt that his blood was upon my hands. And so we all went back to Malaysia for the funeral. And because it was a very sudden death, you know, my father had a very big funeral. The whole village came and there was chanting. And in the midst of that funeral, the Lord opened my eyes. I saw, you know, because that area had a big temple. People would come and ask for numbers in front of the coffin. And I saw a hand picking up numbers. And in the funeral of the 5 days with 24 monks chanting non-stop 24 hours, I saw dark shadows intermingling with the crowd. And the Lord said to me, "Dorothy, these people worship the devil. But look at their dedication. Look at the way they are willing to devote themselves to what they believe in. How come you say you believe in the living God and you will not give your life to me?" You know, I was so broken. I just didn't know what to say. I was very sad. I went back to Singapore. But then I already knew Uncle Jerry. All right? Some of you may know Uncle Jerry, Joshua's father. And he said, I called him and I told him about it. He said, "Dorothy, why do you keep looking for signs? Why don't you read the Bible and find out if God is calling you? Now, you all try to read the Bible and see whether God is calling you." Every page I read, I knew God was calling me, all right. And that was when I went on my knees and said, "God, I will serve you." In fact, initially, I tried to bargain. "You know, you save my parents first, lah, then I serve you," you know, all that kind of stuff. But God said, I lay down my life for you. Will you do it for me? If Jesus loved me enough to die for me, would I love him enough to live for him?" And it was then that I decided that I must tell my father the news. I'm quite an impulsive person by nature. If I decide something, I must go tell somebody so that I don't change my mind. So I decided I must tell my father. I'm no longer going to be an accountant. I want to be a missionary. And at that time, we were still doing our prelim. So I haven't finished school. So I told my father that Jesus called me and I'm going to be a missionary. So at that time, I was attending a brethren church. So nobody told me what to do. I decided I must go Bible school. If you want to be an accountant, I go to university and study accountancy. If you want to be a missionary, I think I should go and study the Bible. So I'm going to Bible school. So my father was very upset. So he called a meeting of relatives, you know, auntie, uncles, and everybody. And then my father said before my relatives, "You know, this girl, I raised her up and I know her for 18 years. And now she says that she got this heavenly father. And she wants to listen to her heavenly father." So, okay, since she decided to listen to her heavenly father, from now on, I will not support her. I will not give her money to go to school. Let her heavenly father take care of her. And my father was really serious. I have a very nice father, right? But it's just for that season, I think I broke his heart. And he was trying to break me, I guess, to change my mind. So he stopped giving me money to go to school. So, but praise the Lord for good friends. All my friends put in their extra money. They supported me through school. I finished school, all right? And went to Bible school. So I finished my Bible school. And I want to tell you this because I know that many of you are struggling with what is your life direction. I'm actually quite surprised sometimes a lot of young people when I ask you, what are you going to do when you grow up? Don't know. But you know, every one of you have a destiny. And you need to seek God for that destiny. Okay, don't become like me, alright? Where God say already, then you fight and kick and all that. Alright? But as God shows things to you in your spirit, very often it's just a desire to do something. You know, when God puts it there, follow through with it. Alright? Amongst my whole group of friends, you know, because there was a revival going, there were about 8 of us who decided that we want to give our life full time to God and serve Him. Alright, up to today, only 2 of us are left doing full time. The rest, along the way, things change or they change their mind because their parents are not happy and things like that. But I just want to encourage every one of us that we need to seek the Lord and hear Him clearly. And when He speaks to you, don't change your mind, alright? Okay, the next exciting story is your life partner. Okay, Auntie Dorothy got married before 23. Okay, about 22 years old. And, how many of you are married already? Can I see your hands? Okay, how many of you are 20 and above? Wow, about time. Okay, so those of you who are under, it's okay, you can listen so that you're prepared when it happens. All right? Okay, actually when I was 14 years old, I was very thankful for a couple who came to our church and taught us about, it's called married lovers for life or something like that. And I was only 14 years old. And they taught about the fact that you ask God to guard your heart till you meet the right person. Because you want to marry the person that God has prepared for you. Not just anybody, all right? Of course, there's a lot of theology about, is, you know, when God created Adam, then He created Eve. Is it there only one Adam and one Eve? Is it there's only one person that God has designated for you? Or is it just, you know, multiple choice, you know, that kind of thing? So, I don't know about that. But for me, I really believe that if God took all the trouble to create me, He must have created somebody else for me. Alright, in fact, a lot of great parents I heard actually start to pray for their children's life partner. Wherever they are now, bless them, alright, that they don't get into a lot of trouble. Okay, so you can start praying for your future life partner. And do you know, since I was 14, I started praying that God will lead me to the right life partner. And He will keep my heart that, and only open it when I meet the right one. So, that was it. And then, came, you know, we had this revival going on, and that lady who came to preach, and Holy Spirit came, she was going to get married, she was engaged, and her husband was an assistant pastor of a church in Singapore, so she brought her boys group, his boys group, and we were the girls group, alright, so we had a camp and things like that. Ah, you must go for camps, okay, camps are very important. Okay, and but then what happened was because God called me too. So I was very focused. I said, no, I am going to make sure that I only marry after I finish my Bible school. Okay, and nobody's going to distract me. Nobody's going to change my mind. Because you know how the devil comes in, give you a boyfriend, and you change your mind about everything else in life. So I decided I won't do that. So at that time, Uncle Jerry, Joshua's father. I remember our first term, you know, he wrote me a letter, you know, very nice letter, you know, he wants to be friend. So I actually wrote back. I said, please don't disturb me. I'm very focused. I want to finish my course, all right? Please don't write to me anymore and don't call me or whatever. That's it. And then what happened? You know, sometimes you say this, don't disturb me. In the college, they call me touch me not. Hard to get, play hard to get. It's true. Because I was so intent. I really want to focus. In fact, I went in with a good friend. Within 3 months, my good friend had a boyfriend in the college. So I became alone. And so I was very determined, I am not going to get distracted. So in fact, when I go to the library, if any guys come and sit at the same table, I'll pick up my book and go to another table. Seriously, because, and then if I'm going out, they will usually, you know, go out for supper. I will say, the guy who let the guy sit at my table, is he going? He's going. I'm not going. All right, so they say I play hard to get. But that's how you keep yourself safe sometimes for the season. So, and then meanwhile, should I tell this part of the story? I want to honor my late husband, you see. Actually, I was thinking, would he mind me telling the story? But knowing his character, he's a real joker, he won't mind. He will say, go ahead, no problem. All right. So what happened was, well, I was trying to finish my college. He had another girlfriend. And the girlfriend was my good friend. And, oh, that was really bad. So I was like, okay, it's all right, because I said no, right? So not his fault. And, but then, a few months later, after I knew that he was going with my good friend, he called me one night and he said, oh, I'm no longer going with her already because I prayed about it and God said you are the one. what to do? So I said, I was very upset. You mean you just dropped my good friend? Okay. How can you do that? So I was upset. Then he said, yeah, but I prayed already. God said you were the one. So I have to drop your good friend, right? This is how things go wrong sometimes. So I was very upset. So I said, okay, how about this? He said, so now how? Between both of us? I was that time finishing Bible school already. So I said, but because you just changed your mind like that, I will have a condition. If you want me, you want an answer, red, green, or amber, I have the tendency, I'm going to tell you, definitely it's not a green. And for me, if it's amber, some people, they amber, it means what they do, they drive faster, right? They go through. But for me, amber, the orange light, you know, traffic light, means stop. So for me, it's more stop. Is it how? Stop how long? I say, well, how about stop 1 year? 1 year. 1 year, don't try to contact me. Let's not form relationship. And after 1 year, let's pray for 1 year. Because if it is the Lord, sure, you know, you're choosing a life partner, you know. For better, for worse, no, till death do us part. You don't want to just say, 1 week prayer. I can't afford to make any mistakes. So I said, 1 year. Take it or leave it, lah. It's 1 year. So Uncle Jerry said, okay, lah, 1 year. So 1 year, we separated. Actually, but then what happened was, along that 1 year, we both got into the same church. Reason, we were in a season in Singapore where if you believe in the Holy Spirit, you either get kicked out of your church and find another church. So we all end up in one of the few charismatic churches in Singapore at that time. And so we pretend that we both went into that church and then pretend as though there's nothing between us. Okay? But my pastor knew that we were praying about it. So we continue. So we actually continue relating in the church. Means he may, after cell group or something, send other people home and other thing, I go home on my own. Okay. The 1 year period is very serious. And then one day, what happened was, because we were serving in the same church, what happened was, there was an incident where Uncle Jerry, bless him, Uncle Jerry had an argument with a pastor. Okay, we were doing demon casting at that time. Uncle Jerry didn't like the method that was used. So the pastor and Uncle Jerry had a disagreement in front of the demon. Or rather, the person who was demonized. So I was like, ayah, this is not very nice leh. So the pastor looked at me and said, Dorothy, why don't you go have a rest? This was something like 2 a.m. in the morning, huh? We had a case. And so I went to rest. And I thought to myself, well, the 1 year is almost up, you know. And in that setting, I heard the Lord said to me, Dorothy, this is the man you will marry. Oh, I was like, huh? Is that you? Because the scenario, the setting, didn't make it look very promising. All right? But God said, this is the man you will marry. And then came early morning, you know, we were still dealing with the demons. Those days we were not trained how to do these things. Now is I look back and say, why didn't we just do it like that? It could have been much easier. But then the pastor was very upset. So he came to me and he said, Dorothy, I know you're praying about Jerry. Let me tell you, this man, God will never use. So, what do I say? I was like, God just told me, this is the man I will marry. Not my pastor tell me, this man, God will never use. Then after that, Uncle Jerry came. And he said to me, he probably thought also that everything was bad, you know. So, and he knew that the 1 year period has arrived. And so he asked me, have you heard from God about what we were praying about? How do you tell a guy that God said you're the man that I should marry? But I was so confused by what my pastor just said. So I said to him, can I pray about it some more? And then I think he was very disappointed because knowing the setting and what had just happened, and then now I say I'll pray some more. So after that, I thought he would ask me again, no? He didn't ask me again. 1 week, 2 weeks, no more question for Uncle Jerry. How? Then I thought to myself, oh dear, so what do I do now? So I have to take my skin, go up and find him one day and say, Jerry, the Lord has actually spoken to me already that you are the man that I'm to marry. Done deal. We plan our engagement, our marriage, and we were married. Okay. We had no courtship until we decided to get married. Actually, some of you may have read the book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Alright, don't go shopping, alright? You can go shopping for your clothing and all that, but don't go shopping for your wife or your husband. It's very dangerous. You know, clothes, you pick the wrong one and you don't want, after wearing 2 times you don't like, you just chuck away. You can't do that with wives, with life partners. So be very serious. Make sure you have God's approval stamp on it. And even though sometimes men may not approve, but you know it's God. Follow through. Alright? And Mr. Hughes, can you give me more time? And then we were together. Then we want to get married. Hey, but no money. How? Between both of us, we had $700. Alright? And then somebody tell us, you want to serve God by faith? Get married by faith lah. Huh? By faith. Okay, and we were attending this church where we had 700 members. So we said we had $1 per guest. Okay? So we thought we can do that. And then Uncle Jerry managed to have some friends who helped him to get his suit. But I had no one to help me with my wedding dress. So I was praying and praying and praying and praying. That's supposed to do by faith, right? And by faith, you don't tell people, right? Because you're going by faith. Nowadays, we raise funds like that. Not much faith. Okay. Anyway, I was praying. And then I had a cell group. So they came to me and said, Dorothy, is there anything we can help you for your wedding? I said, yeah. I need something white. They said, okay, we know what to do. They bought me a big refrigerator. You know, in those days, refrigerator were only white. I was so disappointed. Okay, so one day my auntie called me and said, getting pretty close to the wedding already. You know, I heard you haven't got your gown yet, huh? Yeah. She said, you know, there is a very famous wedding shop in Singapore called Sylvia Co. All right? They're having a free consultation in Katong Shopping Center. You just go there, lah. Make sure you just consult. Look, huh? Don't buy from them, all right? They're very expensive. It's okay. Some of you may not know Sylvia Co's shop now, but it's in the museum now. It was a very famous wedding shop. So, you remember I was only 22 years old, huh? Never been shopping. Was shop for a wedding gown. And I didn't bring anybody with me. I went all by my own because I didn't know, I know I had no money to buy anything, so I just went to look, see. And the lady, Sylvia Co herself, was there doing free consultation. She had one, two, and I was a third person. The first person she asked, what's your budget? She gave a budget and she said, over there. Second person she asked, what's your budget? By now I was so nervous really. I said, I have no budget. But when it came to my turn, she asked me, what are you doing? Oh, so I shared with her, you know, what I was doing in the ministry and everything. And the next thing she did was she took out her white piece of paper and she said, my dear girl, I will stump it out for you. I will give you a two-piece gown, you know, that you can wear in the day and the night, and you can have full lace train from Paris, you know. I was like, hey, I didn't order. I didn't say I want it. Then she started measuring me, and then she drew, and then she said, and you come back for fitting, all right, in 2 weeks. Bring your bridesmaid. I said, okay. I didn't know how to respond. I walked out as though I was like in a dream. I went home and I told my mother. And she said, you die. She said, you got swindled. That's how people sell things, right? Even before you agree, huh? They give it to you and you sign. Now you have to pay. And this lady at that time, her gown is at least 1,500 to 2,000 Singapore dollar. In those days, 2,000 Singapore dollar is a lot of money. So I was so nervous. So I was like, what to do? 2 weeks. So I pray and pray for 2 weeks. Then say go back for fitting. Then I thought, hey, but she didn't take my phone number. She didn't ask for my address. So if I don't go, I don't get swindled, right? But I felt so bad because I made a commitment. So I went. And I went, when I went to her shop, she took out that piece of paper. And the gown was already there. And I saw on top of the piece of paper, F-R-E-E. Free. Do you know I was so shocked. I never even asked her why she's giving it to me free. Just in case the spell broke. She was like my fairy godmother. You know, she asked me to come and do makeup sessions a few times before the wedding. She came to my house. Yeah, she did a dress for my bridesmaid. She came to the house to do my makeup, gave me a Bible and a bouquet. And all she got from my family was $40 ang pao from my mother. And that was it. And at the end of it, an auntie got us a wedding car, a golden Jaguar. Wow, with beautiful white ribbons. And you know, my father brought me to church, right, for the wedding. And he saw the Jaguar. He was like, how did you do this? I said, my heavenly father. All right. And our friends, we had friends in the church who were traffic police. They dressed up in their traffic police uniform, you know, and directed traffic for us. And our reception that was prepared with 700 Singapore dollar, fed more than 700 guests and had enough the next day left over for the church. You know, the Lord provided. We have a really amazing God, all right? Okay, but I don't think I have time to tell you the second story, really. You want to hear the second story? How I found Uncle Mike? Cannot. Who wants to stay here? Second story. Or we call close. Okay, very fast one. I told you, now I married a second time, right? You all know Joshua had a stepfather, right? Okay. Uncle Mike, Uncle Jerry died very suddenly in 2003. Okay, he had a brain aneurysm. He was going to do a baptism and the blood vessel burst. So Uncle Jerry died in December 2003. And then in 2000 and after Uncle Jerry died, God spoke to me in February, 2 months after that. Dorothy, I want you to take off your widow's garment, go into the harvest field, and do my work. So I thought, take off widow's garment means don't cry anymore, go and serve. And then in May, actually I was very determined I was not going to remarry. I even changed my IC, which was Dorothy Soh for 25 years, even though I was married to Gerald Koo, it was Dorothy Soh. After Uncle Jerry died, I changed my IC to Dorothy Koo. I went to see a lawyer. I said, can I change? He said, can. Even though your husband is dead, technically you are Dorothy Koo. So I changed to Dorothy Koo because I thought I would remain single for the rest of my life. Right? But then in May, a prophetess of America prophesied over me and said, Dorothy, God is going to give you a new life partner. And I said, no. I thank God for 25 years of marriage. Marriage is hard work. And I know God led me into that marriage. It was really from the Lord. But I thought, being single was pretty fun too. So, and then in October, I decided to do a course in England. I went to England for a 5 months course. And while I was there, I saw God's finger on Uncle Mike's head 3 times. All right. I saw his, it said, this man will be your husband. Same thing, you know, same scenario, you understand? And then God used the same pattern, okay? This man will be your husband. And I said, no, God cannot. He's American. I got ministry in Thailand. I cannot go. I cannot marry an American. And I know, I love all Americans, all right? I love Americans. Okay, I marry American now. But I said, cannot, because the Bible say, you have to, wives, obey your husband. So what happened if he wants to go back to America? It doesn't make sense. I was so confused. I said, God, how can you do this? You tell me to do this, and now you tell me to do this. And it doesn't match. So I saw that finger. Then I told God, I said, God, can you give me... you see, I had this bad habit. I said, can you give me a sign? And I didn't tell him the sign I wanted this time. The other time I had cloud and all that. This time I said, you know what I need, God. Can you give me a sign? So I know for sure it's not my silly brain working, you know. And I even said, today, I want you to give me the sign. So that day, up to about 10 o'clock, nothing happened. 10 o'clock at night. But by then, I was in the computer room. Uncle Mike called me and asked me to look at a computer, some letters he was writing. And after that, he told me his whole life history. Right from the time he was born, his grandpa was a pastor, and all the trouble he got into his life, you know, all the skeletons in his wardrobe. And I stood there listening. And after he finished, I said, why are you telling me this? Then he said, yeah, why am I telling you this? I don't tell anybody this part of my life, you know. I don't know why I'm telling you too. So I knew in my heart that was a sign from God. And then, so I say, God, okay, great. God, you told me now. You tell him. Right? Makes sense, right? Okay. So, and then from then on, I kept having dreams. Dreams about, you know, playing tennis, you know, you jackway, you know, two. You know, everything must be two. So, I was so confused, you know. Don't swim in the old swimming pool, change swimming pool, you know, pack up your house, move house, all kinds of stuff. So I was very, very kind of upset. So one morning I woke up and God said to me, Dorothy, I want you, because I said to him to give me a sign, right? Now he said, today, I want you to go tell Mike what I told you. Ooh. Hey, looks like it's a repeat story again. I have to go and tell. I said, no, God, this time cannot. Firstly, it's not Asian culture. Neither is it American culture, right? No way. It's not American culture. And there is no biblical model. I'm sorry, God. I'm not doing it. So I went to class. Okay, I was still in the college, remember? And the lecturer that day decided to change his topic. He was, don't know what he was teaching about. He decided to spend a whole hour talking about Ruth. Remember the Lord said to me to be like Ruth? To take out your widow's garment and talk about Ruth, you know, how, you know, if Ruth had not listened, you know, Ruth had to go and tell Boaz, right, to be the kinsman redeemer. You know, take off her widow's garment, put on a nice dress in the middle of the night. I'm going to tell this man, will you marry me? Okay? So I was like, God, cannot be. And God said, you said there was no biblical model? So, okay. So by the lunchtime, I tell you, I was like, I don't know what to do. I cannot. How many of you would do it? I said, no way, God. I'm not going to do that. You know? Because at least for Uncle Jerry, we already knew each other. We were serving in the church. This guy, I don't even know his... I said, okay, but actually I know, like, he told me his whole history already. But, you know, I was pacing up and down. And about 10 o'clock at night, because our computer room, where everybody gathers, closes at 10:30. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's why you must listen to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit said to me, Dorothy, if you don't do what I tell you to do today, you will miss the greatest blessing of your life. And I was like, I know God enough, all right, to know when he mean it. So I went to the computer room. I said, Mike, can I have a chat with you? Honestly, I did not even have the planned script. I didn't know how to do it, but I said, okay, God, I will do it. So we went for, hey, can I go for a walk? Because since he told me his story, I have avoided him already. So he thought I was avoiding him because now I know all the skeletons in his wardrobe. So he said, yes. I said, you know, God, this is very hard, but God told me to tell you that we will have a very special relationship. So he said, oh, that's not unusual because you're from the same school. Maybe someday we will do ministry together and all that. I said, that's not exactly how God puts it. So he said, why don't you just come out and tell me the exact words that God said? So I said, well, okay. I said, take note. I am not emotionally engaged. Okay? I'm not emotionally engaged. I don't even know whether you have a girlfriend or anything. But if you have, just think I'm crazy. Alright? And if it's, and if you say no, please say it fast and it'll be over, alright? I'm just doing what God tells me to tell you. God told me to tell you that you're going to be my husband. How do you like that? Well, at last it came out. And he was like, I said, okay, you can tell me his no. He said, no, you're not getting away so easy with this. He said, actually, before I came to this school, I asked my parents to pray for me. Okay, Uncle Mike was by then 50. He said, I asked my parents to pray for me that I will find a wife. And before I came, a friend of mine had a dream that I met my wife in the computer room. So he said, can you give me some time to pray about it? So, okay, same time to pray. So I said, okay, I'll give you time to pray. But can I also lay a condition? During this time when we pray, can we don't communicate? I just have to be very sure I'm not making it up and we are not making it happen. All right? Let's not talk to each other. Let's not go out. Let's not go for walks. Just pray. We will pray until God speaks to us. So for the rest of the term, we prayed. And then it was about our Christmas break. I went in October. So this was Christmas break. He didn't come back. So I was like, God, this is not working. So I asked to talk to him one more time. I said, okay, we're going for a break. We're going for a 3-week break. I said, during this 3-week break, if God didn't say anything, can we just assume I heard wrongly? And let's not pray anymore. It's over. You go your way, I go my way. Because I have a life to live. I can't hang on. And this time I cannot wait 1 year because I was already 49 at that time. So he said, okay. I said, 3 weeks, and then no more. Okay. And then, the next morning, there was the last day of our school term. I heard a knock on my door. And Uncle Mike was at the door. He said, if I didn't have to go to the airport to catch my flight, I would go to town and buy a diamond ring to ask you to be my wife. Oh, it didn't take 3 weeks. He said, oh, last night, when I went back, he said, I panicked because I asked God for a wife. And then now, because he said he was going around, hey, how come God, you never speak to me, you speak to Dorothy, you know? And so he said, he knelt down and he asked God, and then God revealed to him. All right, apparently he had some conditions that he gave God, and God revealed that all the conditions were met. And then he said, suddenly in his heart, he had a love for Dorothy. and then he came to us, and I was shocked because I had no preparation. I said, hold it. I thought you're going to pray 3 weeks. He said, yeah, but I already know the answer. Why should I need to pray 3 weeks? And then because I already said God told me, right? So I said, okay, now I have another condition. I need to go home and talk to my son, Joshua. I knocked to my mother-in-law, my son, my daughter, my pastor in Singapore, my pastor in Thailand. I have a spiritual father in Malaysia. And my bishop. Wow. So many people, you know. And then my parents too. So he's, and then you must give me permission to tell them all your skeletons in the wardrobe. And if they give me their blessing, then I will consider. That was hard. But to be honest, I mean, I obeyed God, but I was, as I said, not emotionally engaged. I was lost. And that day, you know, it was Christmas. I went to London. You know, I was waiting to go back to Singapore. I was so shocked. And in the days, I said to God, God, I want to obey you, but this is ridiculous. Now I thought maybe I will marry him 3 years later, right? Because you say must marry, but doesn't mean you marry now, right? And then God said to me, by next Christmas, you will not be alone. See, so, oh, this must be a fast wedding. You know, I was so afraid of all the comments of the whole world. My husband just died 1 year. And here, God telling me to remarry. It was, God, this cannot be. And as I was worshipping Jesus on that Christmas Eve, alright, something happened. Oh, sorry, it was a Christmas morning, and I was worshipping Jesus. God did something for my heart, alright? A divine exchange took place. And after that, somehow in my heart, I began to have feelings for Uncle Mike. And the memory of Uncle Jerry became like, because prior to that, the minute anybody talked about Uncle Jerry, yeah, I would be like a tap, you know, I would cry. But suddenly it was that the memory became more remote. All right. And, that was the year of the tsunami. December 24th or something. It was the tsunami hit Thailand. So I went back to Singapore and shared with my friends, I have the tsunami of my life. Okay. But the first person I spoke to was, Joshua. Actually, before that, I know that Uncle Jerry would approve of this. Oh, how come you all know? Because 2 weeks before Uncle Jerry's death, a friend died very suddenly too. And Uncle Jerry actually said to me, Dorothy, if this ever happened to me, please remarry. And before I went to England to do my course, my mother-in-law, Jerry's mother, he has a wonderful mother, she said to me, Dorothy, she said to me at least 2-3 times, you have to remarry. I don't know why everybody thinks I should remarry, but I didn't think so then. So the first person I talked to was my son, Joshua. And Joshua is such a great boy, all right? I told him the whole story, the same way I'm telling you all. And he said, Mom, I love you, I know you, and I believe you. And I will stand with you in whatever decision you decide. Okay? So I was so happy. Then I thought, joy. Joy at that time was sick. She went for some youth trip, you know, and she was in hospital. I went to visit her. I said, Joy, Mommy has something very important to tell you. She said, Mommy, I know what you're going to tell me. I said, how do you know? Did your brother tell you? He said, no. I said, okay, tell me. What do you know? He said, Mommy, I know you're going to get married. I said, how do you know? She said, you forgot. You forgot that when Daddy died, because when Jerry died, Joy came to stay with me in Bangkok, and we shared. She was sleeping with me. She said, you forgot that 2 weeks after Daddy's death, I had a dream. I dreamt that you had an Ang Mo boyfriend. And then I remembered that Joy had this dream, and she woke up one morning and said, Mommy, last night, yeah, I dreamt you had an Ang Mo boyfriend. I was so upset. I said, how can you have this kind of dream? And you say, Mommy, it's a dream. I didn't create it. All right? And basically, it was because God knew, you know, that Joy was Daddy's girl. It would have been very hard for her. God prepared her heart for a whole year. All right? To accept a new father. And then even at our wedding, she said, oh, Mommy, we were orphans, you know, and God gave us a new father. All right? So, and Jerry's mother was a witness at our wedding. The bishop, Moses Day, gave me away, you know, and we had a fantastic wedding, right? But by then, I didn't need to pray for my wedding gown. The Lord had supplied all my needs that I could pay for the gown and everything, all right? I'm telling you all these stories because, and then now, of course, Uncle Mike and I have been happily married for 10 years already, all right? And we served the Lord together in Thailand. And actually, when I went back and tell some of the pastor friends and all that I got married, a lot of the pastor's wife tell me, Dorothy, if you didn't get married and you serve in Thailand, you will be in deep trouble. Because I work with pastors, I work with men, a lot of men in the ministry. He said, if you didn't have a husband, I don't think the wives would be feel very safe letting you go out and chat with pastors. So you needed a husband. God knew your needs, all right? And also beside that, now in the foundation, Uncle Mike and I serve together. He's a great teacher, lovers of the children, and he is bringing us forward. So I'm telling you all these stories because I believe that God has a destiny for all of you, whether it's a job or a life partner. Don't make the wrong decision. Don't go for the wrong person or the wrong destiny. Don't make your decision based on money or convenience. And at this time in season, I just want to encourage all of you just to close your eyes for a while. Because I believe that God has been speaking to many of you. Some of you have kind of just been pretty, what is the word? Maybe that's the way to describe it. I told my son before, you know, especially if you're a second generation Christian, you're a bit like an astronaut. You're not used to living, you're used to living in an atmosphere where there's no gravity, no problem, no persecution. And so you become kind of soft. But God is saying that He has a destiny for you and He has assignments that He has worked out for each one of you. And it's so important that you stay focused. It's so important that you stay ready and that you will walk through and you come to the point in your life where you will fulfill whatever His call is upon your life. I just want to invite those of you who in your heart you know God has spoken to you. You really desire just to do what God wants you to do. All right? I want to invite you to stand and I invite you to walk down the aisle. I did this before, I remember, you know, in the church where nobody responded. I was the only person who responded because that's it. I really want to do all for Jesus. All right? So I want to invite those of you who are really serious, all right? Don't care what other people think or say, but I'm going to make my life count for Jesus. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit because I know. And I know in my heart that that's the right thing to do. And who else to trust if you cannot trust the Heavenly Father? So I want to invite those of you who are very certain you want to make this commitment. God, I will follow you. I will do what you ask me to do. And I'll marry whoever you ask me to marry. All right? Make that clear-cut decision. Make a choice, a very intentional choice to follow Jesus. If that's your intention, I want to invite you to stand. Stand, come forward, and just kneel before the presence of the Lord. Let God speak to you. Let God direct you. Hallelujah. You may have been all messed up. Some of you have been in addiction. Some of you have been watching pornography. Some of you have been kind of stuck to, maybe not pornography, you know, television, games, whatever, you know, and you think that you're not qualified. That's not true. That's the lie of the enemy. Alright? We stand here because of the righteousness of Christ in us, or what Christ has done for us. And don't let the enemy kind of sabotage you and distract you. Be focused. You know you may have messed it up along the way, but now's the time to make it right. All to Jesus, all for Jesus. Pray to the Lord. Tell Him your heart's intention. Verbalize your prayer. Tell Him, God, I'm serious. You will never regret this decision to follow Jesus. Because the Lord supports, He strongly supports those whose heart are completely His. As you turn your heart to Jesus, you will never regret it. Thank you, Lord.